Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us again this week for our podcast. Each week, we interview leaders, and this week, we're happy to have with us Ralph Ballastrere. Ralph is the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer for Red Wing Shoes, a 115-year-old company that has global operations. Earlier in his career, he worked in the medical technology field, worked for companies such as St. Jude and Teleflex, and has held senior leadership positions in those companies. He has some great lessons he's going to share with us that he's learned in his career. Looking forward to our conversation with Ralph. First off, Ralph, can you give us just a little bit of your story, your history, and a little bit of your career?
Sure, Mark. I grew up in the North Shore of Massachusetts, second generation Italian immigrants that came over in the 30s to the United States. I studied at Boston University, and then had some jobs after Boston University. Then my career really started to blossom when I joined a company called C.R. Bard, their medical device company based out of New Jersey. I was with them for 18 years in a progressive financial roles, and a lot of focus was on international finance. Part of that time I was with Bard, so I spent 6 years in the UK as head of their European Finance and Administration Group. So it was a great experience for me, and I learned a lot, and really was a great part of my, memorable part of my career. Moved on to become a CFO for a med equipment company out of Cleveland called Marconi Medical Systems. Was there a short period of time because we sold the business. We sold the company shortly after I joined to Royal Philips out of the Netherlands. And then that led me to Minnesota, where I joined St. Jude Medical as their CFO for their cardiology group in 2003. Spent 4 years there, whereas then I received an opportunity to join another medical device company called Teleflex, based out of North Carolina. And I was with them about 4 years, but I was still living in Minnesota, commuting, and I was getting old. It was a great company to be with. But then one day a recruiter called me and offered to talk to me about the Red Wing job. I had been in the medical device industry for 28 years. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden a footwear company calls me up and says, they're looking for a CFO and trying to figure out if I can qualify for that position. But finance is finance, and it's easier to fit into different organizations when you have one functional expertise. And I came to interview with Red Wing. It's an iconic brand, 115-year-old company today. It is truly an American brand. We have manufacturing sites and two manufacturing sites, one here in Red Wing, one in Missouri. We also own our own tannery. So we're vertically integrated with our leather. We have significant brands, and the Red Wing brand is very strong in both the work and our heritage line, which is our fashion line, both men's and women's. And then we've expanded that into the Iris Setter line, which is also a work line, a little lower price point, sold in more big box stores. And we also have the Hunt brand. And our third brand is the Vast brand, which is our outdoor brand. It's hiking and trail running. And you'll find those type of shoes in either a Bass Pro Shop or an REI type of store. We have 750 retail stores under the Red Wing name throughout the world. 21 of those are dedicated heritage stores, not work brand stores, but most of those are works brand stones. And also we have a series of industrial trucks that travel to industrial sites and become mobile shoe stores. And we're very unique in that area of the business, and our industrial business is one of our fastest growing businesses. Not only footwear, though, we also support the energy industry and PPE. We customize PPE garments. We sell gloves, helmets, goggles, as well as our footwear, and we support the oil industry throughout the world. We have hubs in Dubai, Amsterdam, Aberdeen, Scotland, Norway, as well as Houston here in the States, in actual oil hubs. And that has been a successfully growing business for us. And we're now going to be expanding that into the total energy market, wind and and solar. So we see tremendous growth coming from that business. We're privately held. As a family, Swayze's, who are majority shareholders of the company. We're third generation Swayze is our chairman of the board, Bill. And we're also grooming a fourth generation Swayze within the company today. It's really been refreshing joining Red Wing from coming from a public company environment. We think long term. We don't think quarter to quarter. We have to worry about Wall Street analysts calling us up all the time, or me up all the time, and have to answer those questions. So it's been rewarding that way, and we've been very successful. We've had average growth as a company over the last 10 years, about 8 to 10%. So, it's been a great brand, great ride for me, and I really have enjoyed my time here. Actually, I consider myself blessed to have joined the Red Wing Shoe Company, a company like this. So please look us up as far as our shoes and footwear. They're fantastic products. So that's a little bit about my life and career.
Didn't realize how big the global reach you have, and definitely have become a kind of a, for the next generation, have become aware of the shoes that you make, so become a fashion thing.
It's an interesting story there, Mark, about that. It was always a work line. The Heritage line actually started in Japan. There was a famous movie star. He wore the 875, which is our iconic footwear brand, which is highlighted in most of our ads, et cetera. Anyway, people so enthralled with this movie star, and the boot became famous in Japan. And that started our Heritage business. And then we expanded that globally. And now we have over 300 styles of fashion brands, as both men and women, sold in both dedicated men's and dedicated women's stores throughout Europe and Asia. It's a cool part of our business that we really feel is going to really grow and become a large piece of our total business someday.
Great. Well, I ask this question of every guest that comes on. If you were, knowing with what you know now, if you were able to go back and talk to a 22-year-old Ralph, what advice would you give him?
Okay. I would say, don't get so anxious with your project, the progress of your career. Your ambitions will be filled by exceptional work ethic, working smart, learning ways to become a strong, influential leader. Take advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves, but don't rush things. Don't make decisions and join. Do something that is not part, you'd fail. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to fail. And I think that would be a lot of the younger people today really are very anxious, and they really want to be, they want to be millionaires by the time they're 23, and which a lot of them are, God bless them. But, you have to work hard to get there.
Got it. Any advice that, looking back, that you received that now in hindsight you would have would ignore?
Yeah, I made that earlier, is that don't take on roles that you aren't capable of fulfilling the expectations of those roles. Don't set yourself up for failure. Do always avoid, as you're young and being influenced by people in the organization, especially mentors, make sure that you're not taking shortcuts in the way you do things, especially in the finance area. There's a lot of gray areas you can delve into. Do things the right way. Always do the right thing, as I tell my organization and tell myself all the time.
Now, you have a company that has been around for 115 years. How have you seen, as far as the culture, how do they keep that culture healthy? And what are some ideas that you've seen as far as within your organization?
Well, it's type of we're trying to bring in people who are going to, it's people first. And it's culture and people is very important part of our organization. And we try to bring in the right type of person that can fit our culture very well. And we treat them fairly. We respect them. Work-life balance is very important to us. Family is very important. And we want to bring you into our family and you to be part of that family as a team. None of us are smarter than anybody else. We're all work very collaboratively. Everybody's opinion is important, and we take everybody's opinion into consideration. And we want to make sure that everybody feels important as they part of this, as part of this culture. And that's been through the decades, the same similar culture that's throughout the. And that's what brought me to Red Wing. The minute I walked in the door, I saw this is really different. This is a place for me. And that's why I joined. It's because of the culture here.
Yeah. So you've built a lot of teams over the years, and yeah. I'm sure you've managed a lot of people. As a manager of people, what are some, maybe somebody that's new to leadership, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would say, if you're going to be a leader and you're going to bring in or create an organization, bring in the most talented, hardworking people you can find, intelligent people. Try to surround yourself with people smarter than you. Don't profess to know the answers. Listen, understand before you have to be understood. And try to build a collaborative work culture, a real team organization, that you're all working together. And that's, I try to be one of the people in the room, even though my opinion counts. And when I express my opinion, people have to listen. And sometimes they take me more seriously than take others, obviously, because of my role and my business card. But we try to be a team that, you know, all are just as important. Everybody's opinion is important. So that's why my advice would be, is both bring in the smartest people you can find, hardworking, but also people who want to be part of a team versus people who really care about their own ambitions and selfish needs. Avoid those type of people into your organization and you'll be successful. You'll be a successful leader.
Great. What books have impacted your life, and what would you recommend for somebody to pick up if they're
new to leadership? Hard one when you asked me that question before. I thought of three business books that were influential to me. One was Good to Great. That was talked about level five leaders, people are, a lot, what I consider myself, humble but driven professionally, lack ego, have a winning attitude, have a vision. I mean, that's what that book told. And if you're not, and what it said was, if you can't get on the bus with us, get off the bus. So you can't be part of those. And those level five leaders are with very sustainable, successful organizations versus ones that didn't have those characteristics, were failures. So that was what I took out of that book. The other one was some of the older book because of my age, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. That talks about people who are proactive, having a vision, put first things first, have put priority, think winning all the time. So those are some of the aspects of that book that I've taken and used in my own self career. And then going back to the 70s, as I was a young person, I read The 1 Minute Manager, and it became, it helped me in the way I organized my thoughts, organized my priorities, what I did day to day, versus, try not to waste time. That helped me along the way. So those are the three books that, business books that influenced me, my career, and I feel it's helped my success.
Right. Any quotes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think of three quotes that have always sit with me very well, and one is from nobody, a former CFO, a CEO of a company I worked with. First of all, JFK, we choose to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it was hard. So always try to do things that challenge yourselves. That's really what that says. And create a vision that's what we may think is unattainable, but you can go for it. And that's what a former CEO always said was, no problem is impossible to solve. Nothing is impossible. always feel you can solve any of these problems. And then the other thing I always profess is don't bring me problems without solutions. I hate people just come to my office and just sit there and just tell me all the world's problems. You know, come up with some answers.
Sure.
Along with the problems, and that help me out. Don't think of I'm going to have all the answers. And then one, I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm a football fan, and I'm a New England Patriots season ticket holder, as a matter of fact. I'm a Patriot fan. And it's become famous, Bill Belichick, three simple words. He says, do your job. And I've talked to my organization about that. And what he means by that is, you know, it's very simple, but what he means by that is, you know, he tells his players, you know, everything you've been taught since you were behind your junior high on those grassy fields, come and do your job well. And if all 11 players and all 22 players did their job well, greatness will happen. And that's how you win Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if my organization, my finance organization, you know, I have about, you know, 100 people in my finance organization, if every one of us did that job well, think how powerful an organization we'd be, how good we'd be. And think of our company, if we were 3,000 people in the Red Wing Shoe Company, if every one of them just did their job well, did their job, think how powerful, great company we could be. So those some three words are very unique, and you know, I've tried to use them in the way I run my business.
Great. That's great. Great advice. As you're thinking about the boards that you've served on, as well as being an active part of those conversations, what advice would you give to somebody that maybe has not worked with a board, and things that you've learned in your career?
Well, as you're working with a board, create an image of high integrity. Build strong relationships with them. Be as transparent as possible. Don't pretend to have answers when you don't have them. Come back with the right answers. All these board members were, you know, in your role, in your spot one time in their careers. You know, they all came up to the ranks, and they all made mistakes, and they all always didn't have the answers. Be honest with yourself and be with them. Other things is that, you know, when you do present to the board, don't get buried in the detail. Boards like to deal with very high level. So, you know, they can read PowerPoints. You don't have to read the PowerPoint for them. So just stay at a high level with them, have the right answers, have takeaways from your presentation that sit and resonate with them. So those are some of the things. But most important is act with integrity, be honest, be transparent, and the boards will really latch on to you very well.
And that's great. So outside of work, Ralph, what do you do? I understand you're a football fan, so sure, that's probably part of it.
You got that. My wife and I live in Minneapolis, so we like to take long walks around the city, visit the restaurants, and we enjoy that. I run on a treadmill several times a week. I like to golf. I have two grandchildren that I like to work with, go to their sports activities. And then we love warm weather. Warm, sunny beach is a nice place to be sometimes. So I'm very simple. I don't have a lot of great hobbies, but, you know, I do like to golf a lot.
Right.
Even though I stink at it.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's one of those things that, it's the game that everybody loves to hate. And depending on the day, you either love it or hate it. But, well, any parting advice that you could give somebody? And we have a lot of people that tune in that, are new leaders, but what would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, be honest with yourself. Understand what your capabilities are. Be humble. Surround yourself, as I mentioned earlier, surround yourself with the right people. Take advantage of your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. Work hard and be honest and look for the right opportunities as they present themselves. I one of the great opportunities we had as a young when we were just after we got married and we had two kids was the opportunity to move to Europe. We had a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old. And, you know, people would be crazy to do something like that. But we moved to London, and it was just the best. And we were there several years, and it was the best most memorable times of our lives, and it was a great opportunity for me. It really helped my career. So take advantage of if those opportunities present themselves. Take advantage of those. Yeah, those are great.
Well, thanks, Ralph. This has been a lot of fun, and definitely enjoyed our conversation. And wish you continued success at Red Wing Shoes as you help them and lead the finance for that organization.
My pleasure, and thank you very much. Good luck to everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.